in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Whenever one prepares for a Christmas service, it's a challenge to pick something for Christmas Day. And I just made the assumption, and kids, I would think you would probably agree with me on this, that I figured that if it was good enough for Linus and Charlie Brown and Snoopy to find out what the true meaning of Christmas is, then I figured it would be good for us this morning. Right? We remember the Peanuts Christmas episode, and they say, what's the true meaning of Christmas? And Linus begins by stating Luke 2. So I figured it would be appropriate for us to learn to look at Luke 2 this morning as well. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 20. Follow along with me as I read, remembering that this is indeed God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Luke 2, beginning verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Well, the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Since the reading of God's word, may He add His eternal blessing unto it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open this morning as we study this text a little more in depth. It's an account that we are likely very familiar with, but nonetheless, it's always good to not only hear it, but read it as well. And let's pause for a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Oh Lord, we ask that we may indeed behold wonderful truths this day. Wonderful truths from this very familiar story. And Lord, we pray that You open our ears and our minds and our hearts to be receptive to Your Word, that it may indeed be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say together, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if I were to ask you this day, what do you think about the latest news? Be curious what we would be saying. We have seen terrible things in our world. We've seen policemen shot. We have seen threats in the Middle East. We have seen murders. We have seen. We've heard about car accidents. We have heard about even upset losses. Well, you would probably say it's bad news. And you know, our news channels, they thrive on this bad news. That's part of the reason why people watch it. Is because they know people will be interested in the bad stuff. They don't grip your attention with that feel-good story at the beginning. At least not most of us. We tend to want to tune in because, well, we hear something tragic that's going on or something that concerns us. And that's what grips our attention. That's why news channels will have the teasers as they go before they go to commercial break. To keep you gripped, to keep you there watching. It's one of the reasons why they show us the bad news. It's because it grabs our attention. And one reason why they also incorporate those feel-good stories every so often is because they want us to know the bad news so we can appreciate the good news, that we can know the terrible, tragic news that was in our world today so we can appreciate the good news that we hear. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Luke doesn't give us just good news. He gives us the best news. The best news ever. But do we appreciate it? Do we really appreciate the words in Luke 2? We hear it every year. We hear our children use it in our Christmas programs. We hear about it. Seems like yearly. Some of you may have come here this morning not even knowing at all anything about the service, but I'm sure maybe some of you went, yeah, I bet you we're going to look at Luke 2 this morning. But do we really appreciate it? Because this is the good news. This is the best news. You see, the word gospel literally means exactly that. It means good news. And here we see good news. We see a story about a Savior born in Bethlehem. And yet, in our lives today, we become so preoccupied with everything that's going bad that we forget about this good news. That a Savior has been born for you and for me. A Savior whose name is Christ the Lord. And this is not just good news. This is the best news. Morning. I'd like to look at these first 20 verses of Luke 2. And I want to give you some aspects of why this is the best news. The best news. I'm going to give you four of them this morning. I'm going to give you four reasons why this is the best news ever. So if you have something you want to write these down in, you want to scratch them in your bulletin somewhere, please do so. I encourage you to do that. Let me give you four aspects of this, of the best news ever. And as we study this text, my prayer is that as we study each one of these points, you realize just how great this news really is. News that we don't want to simply just leave on a Christmas morning, leave in a Christmas service, but we want to go and we want to ponder it and we want to treasure it for the rest of our lives. This best news. Our first point is this, is that it is the best news because it concerns history. It concerns history. Secondly, it's the best news because it concerns God. Third, it concerns man. And fourthly, it concerns us here today. Us here today. So those are the four points that I want to look at very briefly this morning as we look at Luke chapter 2. We encourage you to keep your Bibles open this morning. First of all, this is best news because, you see, it concerns history. This is not like Frosty the Snowman. This is not like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This is not like Santa Claus. This isn't even like Schwarzepiet. This is not just a story we like to tell. This is history. And Luke gives us facts about this that shows us it's history. We read the first few verses of Luke chapter 2, and it kind of reads like this, like this litany of kind of boring information. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And then we meet this Quirinius, who is a name that we probably will never see any child named ever again, who was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register. And so Joseph went, and the text goes on. It's easy for us to look at these as being kind of, dare I say, boring material. But this should excite us. This should excite us too, because it's history. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's fact. It's fact. There really was a Caesar Augustus. There really is a Nazareth. There really is a Bethlehem. There really is a governor of Syria. There really was a census. Paul will say in Galatians that fullness of time. And here we have the fullness of time right here in Luke chapter 2. At the perfect time, at God's perfect timing, the Savior comes. The same God enters space and time that God takes on flesh, as John will say, to fulfill His own word, as Mark will say, to be the Savior of His people, as Matthew says. And here Luke will tell us, here He is. Fact. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this best news ever is truth. It's absolute truth. It's not subjective feelings. We don't believe in Jesus. We don't come here to hear the Christmas story just because it makes us feel warm and happy inside. That's the reason why then we're here, for the wrong reasons. We don't celebrate Christmas because, you know what, it's a really nice story and it's just something we have to do because we want to get to the presents. That's what we're here for. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, Linus was right. Christ is the true meaning of Christmas. And this account is verified by witnesses. Here we find the shepherds, we will find wise men, we find Anna, we find Simeon, we find all these witnesses who have seen and heard the Savior. That this is the good news. This is the best news ever. And it is fact. And so as we take this best news, as we ponder on this best news, as we share this best news, we can stand firm on it because we know it is truth. This Bible that we have in our hands is not just some medley of stories and wives' tales. Best news concerns history. Secondly, it also concerns God. It also concerns God. We sing, "What child is this?" And we see the angel here in our account who will say to you in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The best news that we have concerns God. It concerns His grace. It concerns His love. It concerns that immense love, that everlasting love that He's shown to us in Jesus Christ. That He is a Savior. This babe is a Savior. He came to save the lost. This child was alienated from God. It was placed under His just condemnation because of our sins. That this babe, this Jesus Christ, would be the one that would save us from the wrath of God that we deserve. Because we are sinners. Because we are unable to save ourselves. Only Christ can save us. Only Christ can give us help. Only Christ can give us forgiveness. Only Christ can give us salvation. And that is why He is the Savior. And that, my friends, is great news. That we have a Savior. The Savior who is Christ. That word Christ, that is it means anointed one. It's not Jesus' last name. It's anointed one. That He's anointed by God to bring salvation to His people. That He is the Savior. That He is the Christ. That this Jesus Christ is fully man. He's fully man. Joseph, being a descendant of David, you notice that he travels for tax purposes. He takes his very pregnant wife on a 90-mile, likely 3-day trip just to pay taxes to the Romans. And in the fullness of time, God uses this tax edict to fulfill the prophecies that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. See, in this case, taxes were good. And yet Christ Himself is born in a cave, in a manger. It's not like the paintings or the nativity scenes that were, or even some of the carols that we sing. The babe did not necessarily glow with glory. Yes, I away in the manger we say, no, the child didn't even cry. Jesus probably did cry. The shepherd saw a child, but it would be a child that was also born a king. It was one that was in the line of David. That's why Luke gives us those facts in the first few verses about he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there because he registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and they were expecting a child. The best news concerns God and His grace shown to us in Jesus Christ, in this babe who is our Savior, who is the Christ, who is fully man and also fully God. To try to wrap our minds around the incarnation, to try to wrap our minds that this was fully God and fully man, is very difficult for any one of us to do. When I try to do it, I'm left speechless. I'm left humbled because I don't understand it, but I know it to be true. That this child was fully God and fully man. That the infinite became finite. That the God took upon flesh for us. That Jesus had to be man to die for our sins. And He also had to be God so that He could be our perfect sacrifice. Anything less than fully human, or anything less than fully God, lessens the worth of the Savior. Anything less than fully human or anything less than fully God depreciates the value of this best news. And it makes it interesting. It may make it the same old, same old. But knowing that Jesus fully God and fully man makes it the best news. Because it's only in this child that we can find salvation. It's only in this child that we find God's grace. It's only in this child that it's this child alone that we can say, this is Christ. The Lord. This is the Savior that has been born to you. We can echo with the angels and we can left to say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Glory to God for this best news. The best news ever involves history. It involves God, and it also involves man. Did you notice who the angels appear to? Doesn't say when kings and there were kings and princes watching their gold by. It doesn't say there were scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law reading their scrolls. It does not say there was philosophers and wise men debating nearby. And Luke is the only gospel that speaks about these shepherds. They're doing their job. They're sitting in the darkness. They're watching for danger. And the angel appears before them. The glory shone around them. And they sensed that instead of watching for danger, they thought they were in danger. We're not sure how many angels that the multitude, the great company of the heavenly hosts, but we can almost imagine the entire sky getting lit up with angels. The glory of the heavenly hosts. The shepherds are terrified. And the angel says those words that we have come to know and to love. Verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is best news, the best news. Let me give you some reasons why this best news concerns mankind. As did you notice that the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. It's interesting the shepherds bring this up to them because you see, shepherds in those days were at the bottom of the barrel. They were the social outcasts. They were the nobodies, the lowlifes, the losers in life. They were considered despicable and despised. They were on if you know your scriptures, they were on equal level with the tax collectors. That's how low they were. The shepherds at one time were very esteemed. And back in the Old Testament, in Genesis, we find a lot of shepherds. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had many sheep. And David, we know, is a shepherd. But in the days of the New Testament, the shepherds were lowlifes. And it's to them that the angels appear. Isn't it wonderful to know that the gospel was based on a graduate degree or a high IQ, then man would be saved by his intelligence. And if the gospel required money, then man would be saved by his riches. And if it required popularity and status, man would be saved by his prestige. And the best news ever is not that man lawfully reaches up to God, but that God graciously reached out and down to lowly sinners, to people like shepherds, to people who are considered the lowlifes and the outcasts of the world. And the good news, the best news is this, is that none of us are so low that God will not speak to us. None of us are such an outcast that God cannot save us through Christ. That He cannot extend His grace. The good news is for all people. Now that doesn't mean that all people will be saved. But the gospel message goes forth today concerning the Savior. Believe in Him. And trust that this is the one that brings great joy. This is the one that truly is the Savior. That truly is the Lord incarnate. The good news is for all people. And this good news, interesting, when it comes to coming to the shepherds, don't you find it interesting that this, as the angels appear before shepherds, the account is this. It refers to Jesus Christ, who will refer to Himself as a sacrificial lamb. The shepherds would go and see the Lamb of God who would be slain for sinners. That the sacrifice of the Old Testament would point us to Jesus Christ, the perfect sin bearer. It would point us to Jesus Christ, the acceptable substitute for sinners. It would point us to Jesus Christ, the giver of His righteousness. It would point us to Jesus Christ, who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. It would lead us to Jesus Christ, the good shepherd that would lay down His life for His sheep. How interesting it is. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would be born in a manger for the purpose of dying on a cross for you and for me. That's best news for us. That this Savior would take upon Himself something that we deserve. And He did it graciously. And He entered into space and time with the fullness of time as a babe. Giving up all the riches of glory, giving all the riches of heaven to become poor. So that we who believe in Him may become rich. Not financially, but rich in blessing. It leads us to our fourth point. This is the best news ever because it's history. It's the best news ever because it concerns God. It's the best news because it concerns man. And fourthly, it concerns us. It concerns us, each one of us here in this room, in this building today. If we've just heard the best news ever, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do about it? Well, the shepherds, you notice, didn't sit around and discuss it over the next dinner. They didn't dismiss it by saying, well, yeah, we've heard this prophecy many times before. Notice they didn't delegate members to go to the rabbis to Jerusalem to get, well, their perspective on things. How did they respond to the good news, to the best news? Let me give you three things they did. First of all, they believed it. They believed it. Now some of us here might say, well, yeah, if a group of angels appeared before me, I might believe it too. But Christ says, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. The shepherds believed the words of the angel. They left their sheep. They went to Bethlehem. They went to see the Messiah for themselves. To see the Messiah not in a palace, not wearing royal robes, not in a golden cradle, but born in a stable or likely a cave, wearing swaddling cloths and lying in an animal feed box. And yet the shepherds went. And they believed. They believed that Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of the prophecies. That Jesus was indeed the Savior of the world. They believed it. And what about you this morning? Do you really believe it? Do you really, truly appreciate and praise God for what He has done for you and for me? That this babe was indeed your Savior and mine. They believed it. Secondly, you also note that they proclaim it. Their response should be our response. They believed it. Secondly, they proclaimed it. What do we do with good news? When we get a promotion at work, or when we're about to announce we're getting married, or when we're expecting a child, what do we do with it? Yeah, you're right. We just all keep it hush-hush and we don't do anything at all, do we? No. Announce it to the world. We live in a world now where we just put on social media and let everybody find out what's going on. And we're not afraid to verbalize it. We're not afraid to say, hey, guess what? Look what I got! We're expecting our first child! This is good news! This is good news! And the shepherds heard the best news ever, And did they just say hush hush? Did they just say, oh, okay, well, you know, we heard about it, it's really awesome, and let's just go back to work. They went out. And you notice what they said. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph in verse 16. And when they had seen him in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. My prayer is that this Christmas message, that what we read here in Luke 2 doesn't just stop and doesn't just simply stop here on Christmas Day. And I hope it's something that as we read this portion of Scripture around the table with our family and with our friends, it doesn't just become old hat. This is a message that we proclaim that there is a Savior, that we have a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. It is God in the flesh. It is God in the manger. It is our Savior and our Lord. They weren't shy about it, and neither should we. I'm very adamant, by the way, when it comes to people who wish me happy holidays, I'm very adamant to say Merry Christmas. I'm borderline over the top when it comes to that. Because you see, Christmas isn't about presents, and it's about not about trees, and it's not about family, and it's not about food. The true meaning of Christmas is Christ. They believed it, and they proclaimed it, and thirdly, they praised God for it. Notice it says in verse 19 that Mary treasures up all these things, ponders them up on all her heart. She is left amazed at how God has used her, amazed at all the things that have happened. But these shepherds, they return, they glorify and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which had been just as they were told, had been told. They didn't appear on the local talk show. They didn't start a ministry. They didn't write a memoir. They've returned. They may have returned to their work, but you notice that their worship is differently. That they were glorifying God and praising God for all they had seen and heard. This morning I ask you this, is what are we going to do when the service is done here? What are we going to do when Christmas is over? What are we going to do when the food is gone, the presents are open, the decorations are packed away, and the parties and the programs are completed? What are we going to do? We're going to praise God. And we are going to glorify God, because you see, without Christmas, there can be no Easter. And without Christmas, there is no salvation for you and for me. John Piper will write this, that the only people whose soul can truly magnify the Lord are people who acknowledge their lowly estate and are overwhelmed by the condescension of the magnificent God. Are you overwhelmed? Are you overwhelmed because you see God has taken us from darkness to light? God has taken us from sin to salvation. God has brought us from wrath to worship. So we must praise God for it. To believe it. And to proclaim it. And to praise God for it. In conclusion, we need bad news. We need bad news about our sin. We need our bad news about our estate without Christ, because it's only then that we're going to appreciate the good news, the best news, that we deserve His anger, that we deserve His punishment, we deserve His wrath because of our failure to obey Him perfectly. But God has shown us His grace. is just simply good news. It's the best news, the greatest news we'll ever hear. That a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. That's the best news in the whole wide world. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Last Battle, I believe it's Lucy who says this. In our world too, a stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world. And do you know that? And do you believe it? Do you proclaim it? Do you praise God for it? May each one of us this day believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save us from our sins. May this day be a day in which we proclaim His salvation from day to day. May this be the day that we praise God, from whom all blessings flow. For in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, may we be humbled at Your love and at Your grace, at Your mercy and at Your peace. May we be overwhelmed knowing how magnificent You are and how much we are so undeserving of Christ. And yet, Lord, You have done so. Done graciously. Lord, if there's someone here this day who maybe they're struggling in their walk, maybe not believing, and just look at this as being another story. Lord, may Your Spirit penetrate their hearts. Lord, encourage us who may be doubting. Lord, for those who are believing, Lord, may You strengthen it even more so that we can rejoice, that we can come, and that we can worship Christ, the newborn King. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, Amen.